a piece. Why meditation won't rid you of anger. A review of more than 20 studies suggests meditation or mindfulness has little impact on turning us into a better person. Co-author of the study, Dr. Miguel Farias, and his researchers' findings are a far cry from many popular claims made by meditators and some psychologists. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from Oxford, co-author of the report, Dr. Miguel Farias. Doctor, good afternoon to you.
Hello, very good afternoon to you.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Now, you seem to be debunking quite a few myths here because the, you know, and I'm not a person who practices meditation, trust me, but, you know, everywhere I go, I see people sitting around getting at one with their universe, aligning their chakras, basically listening to their inner voice, and your survey says that this isn't going to work.
Well, in a way, you're pointing out what's happening. Because our society has moved towards a very subjective and individualistic way of being, something like meditation has now become mainstream, when meditation techniques were usually used by an elite of monks all over the world. So why has something like this become mainstream? I think that's one of the reasons. It's become just part of the individualistic being with the moment, the sort of ethos of experience the moment. That's all that matters, because we no longer hope much for the future and we don't care about history. Now, as to the question as to whether it works, well, it depends what you want it to work for. I think that most of the evidence shows that for most people, it works very much like relaxation. And I mean, relaxation and meditation techniques have been used now for over 100 years. And, I mean, going back to 1929, when an American medical doctor came up with the first manual of relaxation, he was already pointing out that this was a way of dealing with the modern tensions of our lives.
So, I mean, how did you go about carrying out this study? How do you assess a study of meditation? Did you get a bunch of people who were quite agitated to begin with, make them go through a course of meditation? How did you actually formulate the information needed to put out this research?
Yeah, so there are different kinds of studies. For this particular study, we were looking at people who had done that kind of work, but specifically looking at whether meditation makes you a better person, so whether it makes you less aggressive, less prejudiced, and on the other hand, whether it makes you more compassionate, for instance. So there have been dozens of studies. We selected the best methodological studies, those where you either put people into a meditation intervention or you had some kind of a control group. So there were over 20 studies, and what basically we do when we run a meta-analysis is that we do an analysis of all these studies together to see if this is really working and how powerful the effect is. So the basic conclusion is that when you put all of these together, it shows that there is some positive effect. However, when you look specifically at the categories, you realize that the effects disappear except for something like compassion. Meaning that if you're doing something like mindfulness or loving-kindness meditation, where you're thinking of these positive thoughts towards others and yourself, it tends to make you more compassionate. However, when we looked closer at these studies, we realized that you only got these positive effects according to some methodological issues. So, for instance, you got this effect when the person who was giving the meditation intervention was also a co-author in the publication, which shows that somehow the evidence is biased.
But, I mean, we are living in a world now where we are all on social media, information is coming to us left, right and centre 24 hours a day, 362 days, or 365 days a year. Surely there must be a benefit to meditation where you take time out, you stop the world, you stop the clock and just concentrate on yourself.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, yes. The question is the meditation itself that is doing the benefit, or is it just that you're taking 20 minutes twice a day away from the usual busyness of your everyday life? So one of the questions which many psychologists like myself are asking is meditation something like going for a walk, listening or playing music, or just a sort of physical relaxation activity? What is there something particular about meditation that is better than doing any of these other activities? So the jury is still out on this question.
So what we're saying here is rather than sit in a room going om to yourself for a period of time, you can get the same. You can get the same. That is, you can tell I don't do meditation on a regular basis, can't you? Then just taking the dog out for a walk then is a form of meditation, and it could have the same, if not better, benefits because you'll be walking about and getting exercise than, you know, unrolling the mat and you know, lighting up the candles and putting the Buddha in the right position.
Well. Yes, when we're talking about this kind of meditation, so these are techniques which were taken out of the religious context, and so they're just done in a secular way. So you can say that, actually, if it's mindfulness we're talking about, you can be mindful of taking your dog out and enjoying nature. So you're both taking the dog out and being somewhat meditative in a mindful way. But, I mean, you don't really need the words mindful in this respect. It's not that it's adding anything to what you're doing.
And I suppose one of the things that you are saying here is that none of the thing with meditation is you're not actually saying then we're debunking religions that preach meditation, such as Buddhism, for example.
So that is a completely different question, and there's quite a lot of angry Buddhists about the secularization of these techniques. This has actually been going on for over 100 years, and it started with some Buddhist monks that started thinking of what techniques can we use with people who aren't monks, basically. So the psychologists who started this were already using some kind of very different technique from the ones that these monks use. However, if you're using meditation in a religious context, then this opens a whole other set of questions and doors, because when you're sitting down to meditate, whether it's in a Catholic context, you can do this in various ways. You can look at a religious icon, you can use your rosary, for instance, which some Buddhists also do. So the motivation is different, the context is different, and this more likely leads to you getting into a different, what we call a different state of consciousness. Now, some people who are using techniques like mindfulness, and they're doing it for longer times, we also get reports of them getting into unusual states of consciousness. And this can be either positive or negative. It tends to be positive, but there are also some reports of people whose anxiety, for instance, raises, or they may even have a panic attack, because once you start moving away from your everyday state of consciousness, different things can happen.
So you're kind of saying that if you look too deeply into yourself in some cases, you might not like to see what you find.
Yeah, but that's who we are, right? So one of the things that I'm curious about is that what kind of concept of the mind and the self are we thinking about if we think that by being on your own and by looking deeper into yourself, you're only going to find good stuff and you're only going to have a nice relaxation effect. That's a bit naive, isn't it? That's not who we are.
What would you say then? Did you find in your research for this report, did you find that people who meditated on their own had longer benefits, or did they, if people who listened to these meditation tapes or downloaded meditation podcasts, had a better effect? Or does the meditation effect sort of slowly wear off, like going to the gym and you sort of feel the burn and then you feel okay for about a couple of hours afterwards, but if you don't go back and keep topping up on the gym, if you don't go back and keep topping up on meditation, then it's not going to have much of a long-term reaction?
Starting with the first question, we usually get a better effect when you have a teacher instead of just the recorded instructions or the app. And that makes sense. I mean, it can lead to biases, like we say. It may be that the teacher is heightening your expectations. But on the other hand, if you have a teacher, that's what he's expected to do. And if he's a good teacher, he can guide you to doing this properly and to get more benefits out of it. But that's, again, how we work, right? I mean, you usually learn something better. I mean, not just meditation. You learn to play the guitar or the piano or even math if you have someone teaching you how to do it, right? So that's not really surprising. Now, about the effect wearing off. Well, it's a practice. It's something which you learn, right?
Yep.
So there are some interesting brain imaging studies showing that you get these structural brain changes when you learn a technique, whether it's learning a new language or learning how to juggle or learning meditation. But this effect, it happens in the first few weeks that you're learning it. So your brain changes the most in the weeks that you're learning it because the neural pathways are being adapted to something new that you're learning, right?
Okay.
So what people usually say is that you have to revisit this practice to keep getting effects from it. But the sort of scientific research is a bit mixed here. So the studies that have looked at the longer effects of meditation show that you don't keep getting more and more benefits from it. So it actually plateaus after some months of practice.
You've also made the comment that you could kind of get the same effects from meditation by watching a nature video. And I'm thinking, because this week there was talking about the tremendous the tremendous effect that the Blue Planet has had on people. So, you know, if you're going to get instant mindfulness, perhaps just watching Sir David Attenborough doing his stuff might be, you know.
Well, as you know, nature videos and Richard Attenborough, he's a big persona in, for at least two generations of people in the UK. It was actually, I think the Times who got that headline that watching nature documentaries is as good as meditating. We didn't say that. What happens is that one of the studies was using nature documentaries as a control condition for the meditation intervention. And they didn't find any differences between them. That's where the headline is coming from.
Okay, a bit of fake news and journalistic imagery there in that case. What's the reaction been like from the meditation community? Have you had enraged yogis banging on your door?
Not yogis. The people who are actually on the religious side are sympathetic towards them. An open discussion of what's going on with this kind of cultural trend of interest in meditation. Now, I mean, there's of course some scientists who are reacting in different ways to this criticism of the research. I mean, some of it has been taken on board, so that when we published this book, The Buddha Pill, 3 years ago, there was no one talking about the potential negative or adverse effects of meditation. And now some centers like the Oxford Mindfulness Center is talking about this explicitly. So some of it has been assimilated and has been acknowledged. But, it creates some waves, some ripples, because it has become an industry. So, and not just an industry of apps, of people who are selling this within businesses, but it has also become a research business. There is just lots of money being poured into research on mindfulness in particular. So people become somewhat unsettled whether these criticisms may change that.
How would you recommend that people recharge their batteries then mentally? And how do you yourself, doctor, do you meditate yourself, or do you just find yourself tuning out with the dog, or how do you relax and get at one with the universe?
So I think the most positive, one of the most positive things about this interest in meditation, I think it's really addressing an urgent need that most of us are feeling to sort of move away, have some time off from all these crazy apps and all these things vibrating and talking to us, right?
Yeah.
Also because there's more and more artificial intelligence gadgets which we're relating to. So in that way, I think it's positive that it's coming from a deep place within ourselves, saying we really need, if not this, something like this, to just allow us to recharge our batteries, to step away from the busyness of life. So I think that in that respect, it can be very useful, and I have certainly used it. When I want to, I do some exercise, and I do things like yoga, which have some similarities with meditation, although I go for the more hard-on acrobatic, well, not acrobatic, but intense version, not right. the meditative yoga. So, yeah, I mean, I have used meditation for relaxation purposes, also for sort of self-exploration purposes. So I think that's positive. It's positive that people are realizing that they need something to get away from this. I don't think meditation is going to suit everyone. Even as a relaxation strategy, it's not for everyone. I've talked to researchers who were doing this kind of work in the 70s, and one of them was a big name in the field. He said he did it for 20 years until he realized that it never did anything for him. He was just doing it because he knew that it was supposed to be good for him, but he never got any, even a relaxation benefit out of it. So he finally gave up and found something else to do.
If people want to find out some more information about the survey and perhaps ask you some questions or something, I'll come back to you with their own thoughts on it. Is there a website they can find out the research? Do you do the social media thing? Do you tweet? How can people get in touch and find out some more information?
So I do have a website, which is miguelfarias.co.uk, and there's also a Facebook page with the title of our book, Just Put a Pill, on Facebook, where people can, and there's my contact on both pages.
Just give me the Facebook page again, then, please.
Oh, the Facebook page is just The Buddha Pill.
The Buddha Pill. The Buddha Pill on Facebook, and they'll find out. It's a fascinating subject. Anything that makes me slow down a little bit is always going to be good. Trust me, everybody else in the station would agree with that. And if I don't have to buy any yoga pants as well, I think that's probably a plus as well. Check it out on Facebook. It's called The Buddha Pill. Dr. Miguel Farias, thank you for your time today. Have a mindful weekend.
You too.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.